Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into the Adam Carriker Show, the dawn of a new era. Day number 9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Nebraska's 3-0, ranked number 22 in the country. Somehow we got leapfrogged by Northern Illinois, and I know they beat Notre Dame, but they had a bye week. I'll never understand why teams move up and down over other teams who won games. Now, if it's a loss, I get it. Like, if we lost, I get it. We'd be out of the top 25. But let's say we were ranked 10th, and in some alternate universe, Northern Illinois was ranked 11th, and we lose. Obviously, there's a world where they go in front of us. But in this alternate world, in this current world, there's a poll where they're actually ahead of us. In one of the polls, I digress. And they had a bye week. And I know we played an FCS team, but they're a pretty good, respectable FCS team. So I don't know how they jump us when they're sitting on their tuchus eating mama's cookies over the weekend. So I don't get that. But I digress. Not really that important. Neither here nor there. Just little things that irritate me from time to time. Because sometimes the world doesn't make sense. And that's okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show. Hopefully you're having a phenomenal Monday, heading into a short, because we're going to play on Friday, phenomenal week. If you're a Husker fan, this is the Adam Carriker Show live, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join me. We are going to talk Husker football, Husker sports, college football, and general sports, the show where you will get unique insight, unbridled honesty, and we'll have a whole lot of fun. In the process, got a lot to talk about today. A matchup this Friday, for the first time in over a decade, two ranked teams will be playing in Memorial Stadium. It's been over a decade since two ranked teams have gone head-to-head inside Memorial Stadium. And it's been since 2016, since the Huskers have beaten a ranked team, when the Oregon Ducks, quack, quack, came into Memorial Stadium, number 22 in the country. All right, and Tommy Armstrong and company got the win that day in a very exciting game inside Memorial Stadium. All right, depending on which poll you look at, let me see, I'm going to pull up a poll here. Nebraska, all right, I got the AP poll. Nebraska is number 22. Illinois is number 24. All right, I couldn't help but notice our not-so-good buddies to the South, Texas is now the number one team in the country. I just hate it when Texas is good. And they're actually really, really good. They actually really are. I also don't know how good Michigan is, so we're going to learn more about Texas as this year goes along. Georgia drops back to number 2, and at some point, Texas and Georgia play this year. I think it's in October. All right, but we'll get to that in all due time. In today's show, take a brief look at Nebraska, Illinois this Friday. We'll obviously dive into that more and more as the week goes along. And this Friday, the Adam Carriker Show will actually be on game day, all right, because it's a Friday night game in Memorial Stadium. We're also going to talk, look at the highest, I don't want to say the highest rated, but the most analyzed college football games from last weekend and Matt Rhule's press conference. All right, let's dive into it. There were some interesting things that I kind of learned, all right, statistically about Nebraska. If you look back, going back to 2016, the last time we started 3-0, 4-0, 7-0, all right, the turnover margin over the last 9 years. In 2016, when we were 3-0, at that point in time, Nebraska was plus 6 in the turnover margin. The next year, when things weren't as great, Nebraska minus 2. 2018, Nebraska minus 5. 2019, plus 2. All right, and that's also the last time Nebraska was ranked. All right, 2020, even. The often fondly but equally disregarded 2020 season. All right, we were even. 2021, we were actually plus 1. The last time we were in the positive turnover margin column. 2022, minus 1. 2023, minus 6. This year, so far, through 3 games, we are plus 3 in the turnover column. Some other interesting stats. The Huskers are averaging 34 points per game and allowing 6.7 points per game. And I know, and I talked about it as well after the game, a few concerns here and there with the black shirts. All right, we got pushed around a little bit. They ran the ball on us. Northern Iowa had more rushing yards against us than our previous two opponents combined. I'm also pretty convinced Colorado has no idea what it means to try to run the ball. So in all fairness, maybe we should just compare game 1 to game 3. But they did allow more rushing yards in game 3, the black shirts did, than the first two games combined. Had a hard time getting off the field. Northern Iowa had the ball for 38 minutes. Part of that, I mean, you look at Nebraska's first 3 scoring drives. Eight plays, 75 yards, just over 3 minutes. The next scoring drive, 7 plays, 75 yards. The third, because we scored our touchdowns on our first 3 drives to open the game. The third scoring drive, 80 yards. So 75 yards, 75 yards, 8 plays, 7 plays, the first 2 drives. The third drive, 80 yards, 4 plays. Okay, so the amount of yardage did not go down, but the amount of plays did, which means we're getting bigger, more explosive plays. So that's got to be factored into this just a smidge. Obviously, last year we had a really hard time throwing the ball, so we ran the ball a lot more. Number 2 rushing offense in the entire Big Ten Conference, top 20 in the country. Anytime you do that because you struggle to throw the ball, you're going to have the advantage in the time of possession way more often than not, especially if the defense is good like Tony White's boys were last year. I don't want to see the other team consistently having the ball for 38 minutes. Not on a consistent level, and I wasn't thrilled with it Saturday. But if we're not consistently winning the time of possession battle, but we have way more big plays on offense than we've had in the past 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 years, I'm okay with that. All right. So Northern Iowa ran 71 plays. Nebraska ran 48. So Northern Iowa ran 60% of the plays. Nebraska ran 40% of the plays. And of Nebraska's 48 plays, they had 22 runs, 26 passes. So that's 46% of the time we ran the ball. 54% of the time we passed the ball. So we're obviously passing the ball more often because we're more successful at doing it this year. And I will say this. I do pay attention to what people say, and to a degree. But if you send me a strongly worded message on social media and your facts are just flat out wrong, you will get called out. So Shane Michael of Facebook, you talked about Nebraska ran the ball 15 times. And then you went on to rant about this is the Big Ten and 15 runs out of 48 plays. How can you do that against Northern Iowa? We desperately need to develop this and that. And what's Rule doing? And et cetera, et cetera. Satterfield, what's this say at the end? We will never reach championship offense with Satterfield as a play caller. This is all per Shane Michael on Facebook. Now, he is a top fan of mine, so shout out to that. Appreciate the support. But get your facts right. It wasn't 15 out of 48. It was 22 out of 48. That is a gargantuan difference. Because if it was 15 out of 48, it means we threw the ball about 70% of the time, which is a big difference from 54% of the time. All right? So I love it when people send me messages. I love it when they're strongly worded. I love it when they're fact-based, but make them actually correct facts. Okay, this isn't a situation where don't let facts get in the way of a good story. When I'm telling a good story, I will pull that out, but this is a time when the facts need to matter so we can accurately discuss, talk about, and learn more about our current Nebraska Cornhuskers and what we may or may not see going forward. All right, so getting back to the defense. So there are some concerns okay? Yes, tackle better, get off the field on third downs better. I'm not uber concerned. All right. When you look at the top defenses in the country, when it comes to points per game, Ole Miss and Ohio State, who have both played nobody, are giving up an average of 3 points per game. Now, I will say this. I think Ole Miss is a top five team, and I think if Ohio State's quarterback can play halfway decent at all, they should at least make the national title game, potentially win. I think their overall roster, when you factor in talent, athleticism, and experience, is the best roster in America. But the question is the quarterback. Enough about Ohio State. The third ranked defense in the country when it comes to allowing points per game is, surprised me when I saw this. Tennessee looks to be really good right now. We'll see. We're three games in. Going to learn more about them. Josh Heupel going back to Oklahoma this weekend. We'll talk more about that as the week goes along. Not only was he a Heisman runner-up, not only was he a national championship winning quarterback there under Bob Stoops in the year 2000, he was also the offensive coordinator under Stoops at one point, and he was replaced by Lincoln Riley. And now he's back as the head coach of a top 10 team in Norman, Oklahoma, when his boys take on the Sooners this weekend. But we will discuss that as this weekend or this week goes on a little bit more. All right. Number four in the country, points per game allowed, Georgia. Number five is Minnesota. Number six is Texas. Number seven, James Madison. Number eight is the Blackshirts. Now, you've probably seen this stat. If you haven't, the Blackshirts have given up a total of 20 points so far this year. The least amount of points they've given up through three games since 2005. All right, that defense, I might be a smidge familiar with it. All right, had given up 16 points through three games in the early part of that season. So, yes, if you're Nash and Ty and Coach White, I say Nash and Ty, I could say John Bullock as well, because they're leaders of the defense, and there's a lot of leaders on that defense. Of our 10 single-digit number earners this year, nine of them are on defense, even more than the year before, when I believe the first year Matt Rhule handed out single-digit numbers, I believe it was seven guys on defense. So that's a 16-4, if I'm right, that's a 16-4 advantage. I'm telling you, defense is where it's at, ladies and gentlemen. 4-1 advantage for the Blackshirts over the offense. We're not competitive at all when it comes to O versus D in practice at all. In Rhule's first 2 years of handing out single-digit numbers. All right. The Blackshirts, a little bit more physical up front. Tackle a little bit better. Get off the field on third downs. I'm not uber concerned, but things to work on. They're still going to be one of the best defenses in the country. Okay. The question is, what does that mean? Last year, they were the 11th ranked defense in the country. Does that mean they're 11th ranked again? Does that mean they're top 15? Does that mean they're top 10? Does that mean they're top 5? When I interviewed John Bullock a week ago, I asked him how good they can be. And it wasn't cocky, but there was zero hesitation in his voice. We can be the best defense in the country. Just as soon as I got the question out of my mouth, he had the answer out of his and just said it with utter and complete confidence and belief. Zero cockiness, zero arrogance. Because then he immediately talked about how we have to get better every day, and it's a process, and we got things to work on. Love the answer. Every once in a while, I'll get an answer that is just one of my favorite answers, and that's one of them. Another one of my favorite answers was when Rhule was asked about, and I talked about this last week, non-answer answer. It was the great best non-answer answer I've ever heard in my life. When he was asked about, you know, how many games you think you win this year back at Big Ten Media Days, he's like, oh, if I say 10-2, it means we're going to lose two games. I mean, what a great answer. What a great non-answer answer. The best I've ever heard. Bullock's answer and the way he answered is why it's one of my favorite answers I've received from a player so far this year. They got areas to work on. I'm sure they're going to be motivated. I'm happy it happened versus Northern Iowa so we can be better prepared versus Illinois. All right. A couple other thoughts here. A couple other stats. Nebraska's quarterback through three games, starting quarterback. All right, QBR 158.16. All right, compared to that's up over 54 points over last year. All right, five passing touchdowns, one INT. You could argue not entirely Dylan's fault on that INT. Maybe a bigger bodied receiver ends up getting it. One fan actually told me it was more like it was just ripped away, so he called it a fumble after it was actually caught by our guy, ripped away more of a fumble. Goes in the books as an INT. Honestly, things even out over time. There was a touchdown to Ramir Johnson. I believe it was UTEP where he kind of saved an INT. The bottom line is Dylan's playing really, really well. If you have a 5-1 touchdown to INT ratio, that's not good. That's really good. He's playing really good so far. Surpassed my expectations. As talented and as gifted as he is physically, I simply said I wanted him to complete 60% of his passes, have a 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. A year ago, it was 1 touchdown to 2 interceptions was the ratio for the quarterback room as a whole. It's actually more than that, but I rounded down in favor of less interceptions. And I wanted him to be efficient and take care of the ball. He's completing over 70% of his passes so far this year, which is the highest completion percentage 3 games into a season or more for a Nebraska quarterback since 1980. He's the first true freshman quarterback since 2012 when Marcus Mariota did it, through 3 games to be completing over 70% of his passes or more. Okay. So he's playing really, really well. You look at this point last year, through 3 games, Nebraska's quarterbacks had already thrown 4 interceptions. All right, Brian Buccini. Guy's punting really well. His punting average is 50.14. When you compare it to a year ago, it was 40.7. So an increase of 10 yards per punt. It's flying under the radar, and it helps when you don't punt once in a game. We didn't punt at all. Okay, versus Northern Iowa Saturday. We went for it on 4th down, didn't convert right before the half, then we took a knee at the end of the game. So we didn't punt at all. So when your punter's not on the field, you don't want your punter to be the guy that's getting all the action and all the accolades and all the highlights like Iowa's punter a year ago. He was borderline a Heisman finalist. He was really good, and he was on the field a lot. But when Buccini's been on the field, he's been really good this year. Again, he's increased his average per punt from 40.7 yards to 50.14. That's a big improvement. That's a big jump. Right, admittedly, I took a lot of notes, and I texted them to myself, and my phone did not receive them in the order that I sent them, so it's annoying me very much. But that being said, I think I've covered about everything I had written down here so far. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my early thoughts. Nebraska, number 22, Illinois, number 24. Again, Nebraska's first chance to beat a ranked team. Well, not their first chance, but their chance to beat a ranked team for the first time since Oregon, who was number 22, came in here in 2016. And it's the first time we've had 2 ranked teams play each other. Nebraska was not ranked that day versus the Ducks. It's the first time we've had 2 ranked teams play each other in Memorial Stadium in over a decade. This Friday is going to be a lot of fun. I am anticipating another electric type atmosphere. Another game where Husker fans make it almost impossible on the opposing quarterback and opposing players. Travis Hunter talked after the Colorado game. Showed nothing but love. That kid's like nothing but class. I'm a huge fan of his. All right, I really am. But he showed nothing but love to Husker Nation and talked about how hard they made the game for the Colorado players. And I'm anticipating something similar this Friday night when Illinois comes in here. All right, you look at some of the stats, particularly from Northern Iowa. We got to go to break here relatively soon. How many minutes I got, Jake? As long as I want to go, it's my show. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll go for 4 hours. All right. DP is not paying me for 4, so we'll cut it off at a certain point. But you look at some of the stats from Northern Iowa, and then we're going to move on. All right. Dante Dowdell started the game, had the most amount of carries, most amount of rushing yards, 6 carries, 55 yards, averaged 9.2 yards per carry. Emmett Johnson looked really good. I know that Dowdell and Ramir Johnson are like co-number ones, and then Emmett and Gabe Irvin are like co-number twos. And I love Gabe Irvin. Just pure physical talent. He may be the most purely physical talented back in that room. I wonder what he is now relative to what he was before the injury again last year. He appears to be a goal line back. At least that's what he was versus UTEP. Haven't seen him a ton since. I know Frost loved him. Okay, I know Mickey Joseph loved him. I know Rule loved him. Unfortunately, he's been banged up. I wonder what his capability is now. If it's the same before. Injuries can add up and they can affect you. Sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's physical. Even if you're young, I don't know. But it appears as though Dowdell appears to be maybe the number one. We'll see. And then Ramir and Emmett are kind of there. It's kind of like we have a 3-1, so to speak. But Emmett Johnson almost looked like the best running back on the field Saturday. Also averaged the most yards per carry, 12.5 yards per carry. Had the touchdown, 36-yard run was the second longest rush of the game for the Huskers. Four carries for 50 yards. Dylan Raiola actually had two carries for 13 yards. One of his rushes on what appeared to be a zone read. I doubt if it was an actual read. I'm pretty sure it was just a determined quarterback keep on 3rd-and-1. He ran 15 yards, looked good. His other carry, which was a bootleg, didn't work out so well. That's okay. Keep throwing the rock the way you are. Ja'Cory Barney actually had the touchdown run, 10-yard touchdown run. And Ramir Johnson, only two carries for 4 yards. And I know the coaches love him. So I'm still curious to see how this running back thing plays out. It was good to see Harburg getting on the field in various ways. This guy's just a football player. He is a Nebraska boy. And it matters more, and he's got the talent and ability. First drive, he was on the field as a running back. Then he was on the field as a receiver. Didn't do anything with him, but he was out there. You think Illinois is not noting that? And then later on in the game, second half, he catches the ball out of the backfield. Lines up at receiver again. Actually carries the ball from the running back position as well. Rule is setting up some stuff. At some point, just seeing Harburg with the rock is fun to begin with, but at some point, they're going to have some fun with some trickeration. And defensive coordinators have got to be pulling their hair out trying to figure out what it might be at this point. Satterfield, Rule laying the groundwork for something in the future. I'm excited to see what it is. Carter Nelson actually led the Huskers with 4 receptions on Saturday. Jalen Lloyd with the 159-yard catch. Dylan Raiola, play action, defender right in his face, made him miss, threw the bomb. Great adjustment in the air by Jalen Lloyd. Ja'Cory Barney is clearly a guy that these coaches like, and they want to get him the ball, and they want to get him the rock. They want to get him returning kicks. They want to get him the ball on handoffs and reverses. They want to get him the ball in the air as a receiver catching the ball. He was actually named to the watch list for the Jet Award. Ours truly. Johnny Rogers. By the way, Michael Sevier is the head of the Jet Award Foundation. Shout out to Michael, who was on the show last week. But he's on the watch list. And that is for the nation's top returner. All right. And the award is obviously named in the aforementioned Heisman Trophy, Nebraska football legend, Johnny Rogers. We've actually got a bunch of Huskers that are on watch lists. I'm going to go through this list real quick because I don't think this has been talked about. At least I haven't heard anywhere else. All right. This has been since before the season. So maybe I missed it, but I haven't heard this anywhere else. So I'm going to go through, I think it's 8 other guys. Bryce Benhart, one of 75 linemen to be named to the preseason watch list for the Outland Trophy. He was an honorable mention all Big Ten players, Nebraska starting right tackle last year. All right, the Outland Trophy is presented annually to the nation's best interior lineman. Brian Buscini, talked about him earlier, the 2021 FCS Punter of the Year, was one of 33 punters named to the watch list for the Ray Guy Award. By the way, what round was Ray Guy drafted in, Jake? No. No Google.
You got me. I don't know.
First round. Mm. The only punter ever drafted in the first round. Al Davis loved him so much. And actually in practice, most punters and kickers, you know, they do some things for a while, but they do a lot of standing and watching. I'm being kind here. I've seen them do other things like flip over stools in the locker room and play horse while I'm in the middle of taking on double teams. But I digress. That's a true story I'll tell another day. But he would actually go do individual drills with the DBs. Like that's how athletic Ray Guy was. All right. Brian Buscini, he's on that watch list for the Ray Guy Award. Thomas Fedoni, one of 48 tight ends, named to the watch list for the John Mackey Award, presented annually to the nation's best tight end. Now, he led Nebraska with 4 touchdowns last year, the most by a Husker tight end since 2010, 14 years. Isaac Gifford was honored, okay, for his work on the field and in the community with an appointment to the All-State Danny Werfel, trophy watch list. Gifford led Nebraska with 86 tackles a year ago. Honorable mention, all Big Ten. Named to the Sam Fultz 27 Hero Leadership Award in 2024, was named to both the Brooke Behringer and Tom Osborne citizenship teams as well. Nash Hutmaker, one of 90 players and 37 defensive linemen, named to the watch list for the Chuck Bednarik Award, presented annually to the most outstanding defensive player in college football. Hutmaker was an honorable mention All Big Ten selection a year ago. I got to share a quick story. We got 3 players I want to shout out that are still on watch list I haven't gotten to yet. But I was at the Senior Bowl And Monty Kiffin was just honored here in Nebraska. All right. And Monty Kiffin was the D coordinator. First time I ever met him. And Gruden, John Gruden, it was the Bucs staff. I think it was 2 years, 3 years after. It was like 5 years after they won the Super Bowl. But they had a really rough year, so they ended up being the Senior Bowl coaches. And we're in our meetings. And I forget who the D-line coach was. But we was like the D-line, the linebackers. We were all, the front seven was like watching film of the previous day's practice. And the linebackers coach goes off. Because one of the guys wasn't giving 100% effort or doing good or whatever. I don't remember. He goes off on, oh, you're probably one of those award winners. One of those Bednarik award winners or one of these, you know, award winners that wins all of the awards. They're the worst. Well, sitting right next to me is Lamar Woodley, who ended up, I think, winning 2 Super Bowls with the Steelers. He was the Bednarik award winner that year. And we all turned and looked at him because everyone knew but the coach. The coach never did turn around. I don't think he ever knew. I don't think he cared. He may have known and done it on purpose for all I know. To this day, we were all cracking up so hardcore and Woodley just had no idea what to do. Turned out all right for him, though. All right, Dylan Raiola was named to the Polynesian College Football Player of the Year Award watch list. And the Sean Alexander, former Alabama running back, Seattle Seahawks running back award watch list, also a preseason freshman All-American. Isaiah Nayor, who is currently Nebraska's leading receiver in receptions and yards and touchdowns, playing pretty well so far. One of 93 players named to the Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Award watch list. This award is presented to the top offensive player who played high school or college football in Texas. Just because it's an award from Texas, I really want to say something not positive, but Isaiah's up for it. So it's a phenomenal award. All right, Ben Scott, an honorable mention all Big Ten selection in 2023, is one of 40 centers named to the Remington Trophy watch list. The Remington Trophy, named after former Husker center Dave Remington, is presented annually to the nation's top center and is given out each year in Omaha in January. Two of these awards, by the way, Nebraska-based. If you didn't notice. The Remington Award, okay, tied directly to Dave Remington. And the Jet Award for the top returner in the country, tied directly to Johnny Rogers. All right, so shout out to those guys. We'll keep an eye on that, how that progresses throughout the season. I guarantee if you ask them, they're focused more on wins, losses, and the team. But I do think it's fun to keep an eye on and root for some of these players on an individual level, because if they're individually doing well and playing collectively together, then the team is doing really, really well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are we going to be able to talk about the press conference when we come back? All right, I'm going to give my reaction to Matt Rhule's press conference right after these words.